Wall in downtown Chico, and a seasonal market Tuesday mornings in Paradise. The Chico Certified Farmers Market, connecting farmers and food lovers since 1980. No.
If I had a hammer, I'd a hammer in the morning, I'd a hammer in the evening over this land. I'd a hammer out of danger, I'd a hammer out of warning, I'd a hammer out of love between my brothers and my sisters.
This is KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Ecotopia, and we're doing ecosystems, environmental, social, and technological. All right, we got everything set. Here we go.
This evening, we'll be talking about the dark side of electric cars, the mining of lithium and cobalt, two major components of rechargeable batteries, including those used in electric cars, has consequences for the land, the environment, and the people who live on the land being mined.
Tonight we'll be talking about a specific mine approved the first of this year at Thacker Pass, Nevada. We'll talk first with Dr. David von Segeren. He's a retired seismologist from the Nevada Seismological Laboratory at the University of Nevada. He's a former chair of the Toyabe chapter of the Sierra Club in Nevada. He closely follows conservation and environmental issues in Nevada.
Then we'll have a report from the rally from an event that took place on Saturday, June 12th at the City Plaza in Reno, Nevada. Protect Peje Muja, or Thacker Pass, is sacred to the Northern Nevada Paiute and Western Shoshone indigenous people. This event was intended to build support for the resistance to building of the Thacker Pass lithium mine.
To begin our program, we want to thank Manny Becerra of Reno, Nevada, for providing information on sources for tonight's program. He introduced Susan to our guest, Dr. David von Segeren, and accompanied her to a rally last Saturday in Chico. Our program is entitled The Dark Side of Electric Cars. There's no doubt that we are headed toward a world without gas combustion engines in our cars, and our great hope is to create all electric vehicles. But electric vehicles are not the green technology they are touted to be. Tonight, we'll be exploring the impact that electric cars have on the environment by way of the production of lithium-ion batteries.
Since the 1970s, lithium-ion batteries have revolutionized electric possibilities. They have made rechargeable batteries and backup emergency power possible. They are used in mobility devices like wheelchairs, in solar backup power, and, of course, in electric vehicles on land and sea. Lithium and cobalt are two of the major components that make battery power possible. We have seen this technology touted as green, as a panacea for the dirtiness of CO2 emissions.
But there is a dark side. In the past, most of the mining has been done far from our shores and out of sight. Cobalt, for example, is mostly mined in Africa, specifically in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The DRC is one of the poorest countries in the world and has suffered from corrupt leaders. Hundreds of thousands of Congolese people have been driven to work in the mines. The Congolese NGO Afterwatch and Amnesty International report that children as young as 7 work in the mines with no protection from the cobalt dust. UNICEF estimates that 40,000 children work in mining in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
In the past, lithium, another major component of rechargeable batteries, has been mined primarily in Chile, Argentina, Bolivia, Mexico, Australia, Tibet, and China. Increasingly, mining companies are looking for lithium in the U.S. One lithium mine, the Silver Peak Mine, began operation in Nevada in the 1970s. In the past several years, lithium has been located elsewhere in Nevada. Nevada Lithium, it's a part of Lithium Americas, based in Vancouver, Canada, and supported to the tune of $40 million by Ganfeng China, is a giant in lithium mining and has been approved for mining lithium in Thacker Pass in northern Nevada near the Oregon border. In just a few minutes, we'll talk with David Von Segern about the environmental impact of lithium mining.
A major appeal of the Thacker Pass mine, which was approved by the Bureau of Land Management, which owns the land, is economic. According to Susan Jutin in What Price Lithium in the Bristlecone, a publication of Great Basin Resource Watch, quote, the company said it planned to hire 113 people at an average wage of $37.84 per hour, with an expected $103 million spent on equipment and up to 1,000 temporary construction workers to build the production facilities. In Winnemucca, the county seat, she continues, political representatives are generally all in for the mines and the jobs and the tax base that come with it. As reported in the Nevada Indy of the 16th of September, Nevada Lithium will receive a total of $8.6 million in tax abatements from the state. Per its application, Nevada Lithium expects to bring in $65.8 million in new local and state revenue.
The people of Red Mountain, the Atsa Kudaka Nui Nuhu, are resisting the mining of Thacker Pass, or the Peche Muha, as the land is sacred in the northern Paiute and western Shoshone indigenous people. In solidarity with the Fort McDermott tribe, Will Falk and Max Wilbert have established a protest camp to defend Thacker Pass. In an article explaining why he wants to protect the land, Will Falk writes,
Thacker Pass is a quintessential representation of the Great Basin's specific beauty. Millions of years ago, a vast lake stretched across this land. Now oceans of sagebrush wash over her. If you let the region's characteristic stillness settle into your imagination, you'll see how the sagebrush flows and swells like the ancient lake that was once here. On the north and south ends of the pass, mountains run parallel to each other. The mountains feature outcroppings of volcanic rock left by the active volcano that was here even before the ancient lake. The mountains cradle you with the valley's dips and curves up to the ever-changing, never-ending Great Basin sky. During the day, the sun shines down full strength, creating shape-shifting shadows on the mountain faces. At night, the stars and moon shine with such intensity and clarity that you can almost hear the light as it pours onto the ground.
Will continues, though they often are difficult to spot, the animals are always active here. Coyotes sing constantly. A few start their music miles away to the west and are answered by a few more, startlingly near to the east. Ravens swirl on the breeze high overhead. A few times a day, their conversation echoes clearly off the rocks. Then they turn away and their voices cut sharply off, like they know you are eavesdropping. In the morning, on an odd wood pallet we found near our campsite and repurposed for as our kitchen table, we found a trail of mouse droppings, despite our best efforts to scour the crumbs from our dishes.
We'll take a short break and then talk with David Von Segeren. He's former chair of the Toyabe chapter of the Sierra Club in Nevada about the environmental impact of lithium mining. You are listening to Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 Chico.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 in Chico. Our guest this evening is Dr. David Von Segeren. He is a retired seismologist from the Nevada Seismological Laboratory at the University of Nevada in Reno. He previously worked in the oil and gas exploration field, and before that, on detection and characterization of underground nuclear explosions.
Dr. Von Segeren is a former chair of the Toyabe chapter of the Sierra Club in Nevada and closely follows conservation and environment issues in Nevada. In the March 2021 issue of the Desert Report, a publication of the Sierra Club California and Nevada Desert Committee, David Von Segeren wrote about the new lithium mine in Thacker Pass in Nevada. Welcome to Ecotopia, Dr. Von Segeren.
Oh, yes. Glad to have with you.
Thank you.
Well, your article is extremely helpful in providing an overview of what lithium is and how it's mined. Tell us a little bit about what this element is, why it's so important in creating lithium batteries.
Yeah, maybe the article didn't explain that too well.
It did.
Lithium is the third element on the atomic scale, and so it's the first mineral element, so it's an extremely light mineral. And it has three electrons. Two are in an inner shell, and one lonely electron is spinning in the outer shell. And it likes to get away and come back. It's sort of a promiscuous thing. And so this is the reason that it combines with a lot of other elements, that it's good for use in batteries, because that electron can come back and forth. So when you discharge a battery, that electron goes and powers something. You charge the battery, the lithium ion gets that electron back. So there's no other material that really competes with lithium as far as car batteries. So because of the high energy density that they provide and many other characteristics. So there we have it.
So it's lightweight as well. Isn't that one of the advantages?
Yes, because it's so light, it provides a high density of energy.
The Thacker Pass mine is not the first lithium mine in Nevada. Where are the current and proposed lithium mines? What was the first one, and how does it compare with the new mine that's being planned for Thacker Pass?
Okay. Actually, Nevada has had a lithium mine down near Tonopah in a place called Clayton Valley since the 1970s. That mine has produced at a fairly low level, and what it does is it pumps lithium out of the playa and fills it out in, well, a lithium brine, fills it out on these evaporation ponds, and these are something you can see from satellite images. They cover square miles, and that process has been going on and yielding lithium for 40 years, I think. But this process is very, consumes a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
Taking water out of a playa and letting it evaporate. So that is not an ideal way that we want to see a lithium mine move forward. The Thacker Pass mine is more of a traditional mine in that it's like a lot of gold mines in Nevada. You dig a big pit and you're pulling the ore out, and you're crushing it and extracting the lithium from that. And Thacker Pass, they intend to produce maybe 10 times as much lithium per year as the current mine down in Clayton Valley, which is really, really a small player in the world lithium market.
So, well, I just want to ask, so will this make Thacker Pass have a big share in the production?
I wouldn't call it a big player on the global stage. We have so many more lithium resource areas in South America, Australia, China, so that if Thacker Pass never started up, it wouldn't hurt the lithium supply in a global sense, I don't think.
So the brine ponds, which are used in the southern mine, use a lot of water. How is the method for extracting the lithium different in Thacker Pass than the one that uses so much water in southern Nevada?
Yeah, the evaporation ponds, what they're doing is, by having the water evaporate out, you're concentrating the lithium in the remaining brine. So once it gets to a fairly high concentration, you can pull it out and process it pretty quickly into a solid lithium hydroxide or carbonate. The Thacker Pass, what they have to do is they have to crush up the rock and process it in a, like I say, it's a kind of a traditional gold mining thing, where then you, with certain chemical compounds, you can leach that lithium out and make it into a sellable product.
So there's still water involved, but it's not...
There is water involved, and it's actually quite a bit, more than we would like to see. It's will amount to a consumptive use, but they are getting their water rights sufficient to do their operation.
And what about the chemical compounds in extracting the lithium from the rock? Are those, I know I've read that sulfuric acid is part of that.
Yeah.
Is that, what kind of danger does that present?
We quite don't know yet, because this is a new method that's being developed for this mine. And they've proven it in lab studies and some small-scale studies. What happened, sulfuric acid, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But
anything that has acid in it scares me a little
right.
bit.
Right. After it's used, they plan to neutralize it and bring it back to, not a dangerous state. So, but that all remains to be done. And in their applications for water quality permits and so forth, Nevada Department of Environmental Protection, they'll have to spell that out completely, and we will keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to make sure that their method is not going to create any water pollution.
Yeah, that's one of the concerns, I think, when leaching, that the leaching involves water, contaminated water into the soil, thus contaminating the soil, and so that's something that I'm sure you'll be paying attention to.
Yes.
I wanted to jump in and just ask, does Nevada have enough water under the surface to support that kind of mining? I mean, it's an arid state. The Great Basin Lake is gone. From our time in Nevada, I know there are always dreams of a giant river underneath the state of Nevada, but there's not a lot of water there. So where will it come from?
That's right. And of course, realize that mining in Nevada has been using a lot of water for a long time, but actually more water in Nevada is used for agriculture.
Yes.
And Thacker Pass would be getting their water rights from current agricultural users.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a trade-off. You know, it's just using the water in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But one has to be concerned with large water users in Nevada, and what is the benefit we get from
mm-hmm.
that use?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are the projections for the productivity of the Thacker Pass mine? How long will it last? How much time do they think they'll take to extract all of that lithium? And where will that go? Yeah.
Yeah. They are projecting a 50-year mine life.
Wow.
And producing early in the life 25,000 tons of lithium per year, and then ramping up to eventually about 50,000 tons of lithium a year. That's in the single digits of a fraction of world production.
And what do you know? I didn't ask you this question in advance, but I'm curious about what you know about other potential places in Nevada where they might be doing exploration for lithium, and where there might be other possible mine sites.
Okay. We're facing an onslaught of lithium prospects. Recently, there have been almost 10,000 new mining claims.
Wow.
With the BLM, and most of those are suspected to be lithium mining claims. So, and we're already seeing several companies starting into the exploration stage and developing their prospects and so forth. And so Thacker Pass was just sort of the opening volley,
mm-hmm.
I think, in lithium mining in Nevada. And that's why the Sierra Club, we just kind of stepped back and said, we have one lithium mine, but we need to think about what are the guidelines we should draw up for looking at all this lithium mining that may be taking place in Nevada soon. So it's not just a question of one mine. I think we're going to be facing many, many more instances in the next years.
Yes. What are the impacts of the Thacker Pass mining on, now we're kind of moving into the environmental questions about this, the impacts on water, on wildlife, on vegetation, on air pollution, on the local communities? What are people concerned about there?
Okay. Well, I can say that Thacker Pass Lithium Mine shares many of the impacts that we've had with gold and other mining in Nevada for many, many decades. And yes, Thacker Pass will probably be impacting water. It's going to impact wildlife because it's taking up like 10,000 acres. It's going to be fenced off. There's a sage-grouse problem. It is in sage-grouse territory, and so to offset that they have to buy sage-grouse credits, but their vegetation will, you know, be scraped off in a large area. We're not quite sure about the air pollution, certainly from the mining itself, but also from the processing of the ore. We're not, and what is the impact on local communities? And the ranching communities around there, it will be impactful.
I'd like you to talk a little about that a little bit more. One of the things I've been involved in, doing some work on land management and land planning in our area, looking at the EIRs, the EISs that have to be prepared in order to move forward with some sort of development. And one of the things that I've been concerned about is part of that, the person who's applying for the permit or whatever they're trying to do with the land has to talk about mitigations. And one of the things that I've seen in the work that I've done is that sometimes there aren't really mitigations that will work. That is, you tell the sage grouse to please move 2 miles this way. Well, they don't necessarily want to do that, and they don't necessarily, or they're kind of ecosystems that are very localized that are destroyed by that. And so are there irreplaceable ecosystems there? Is there something about that particular piece of land that is going to be gone? What's on that piece of land?
That's true. This is the price we pay for mining. There are some inevitable environmental impacts that can't be erased. And even though we do mitigation, you know, that's in a different area, and where the mine is, there's more or less some permanent damage that can't be undone. Mm-hmm. Is that what they're asking?
Yeah. We in California have lost about 90% of our vernal pools now, our vernal ponds, and that means the loss. It's a hugely intricate ecosystem. And, you know, 10% of what's left in vernal pools can't support the things that we've lost through the loss of those vernal pools.
Yeah. I will say Thacker Pass is in an area that is similar to many other areas that gold mines have been done in Nevada and other mines. And, you know, we are up against the 1872 Mining Act.
I wanted to ask you about mm-hmm. that. Could you talk about that, please?
Okay. You know, the environmental impact statement is just that. It's a statement of what the impacts will be. Now, in mining, the land agencies like the Land Management, Forest Service, are somewhat constrained. Even after they look at the impact statement and say, oh, there are these bad impacts, they are somewhat constrained by the 1872 mining law and cannot necessarily deny a mine unless it's really, really egregious. So, you know, the answer to lithium mining and gold mining or whatever other mining, I think in the long term is we have to take a look at the 1872 mining law and put mining on the same footing as other types of actions on public land.
So what can you talk about what the 1872 mining law says?
Well, basically it says if you have a claim, you can develop it.
Okay,
Regardless of the environmental impacts. Now, that's been a little bit tamped down by laws, but still that pretty much stands. If you have a claim for minerals, you can go and develop it.
We might also point out, I believe the 1872 mining law is a giveaway to the agencies doing the mining. That is, people have been campaigning in Nevada for a long time now to change the law, so companies pay a fair price for the stuff they're taking out of the ground.
One of the things that also has occurred to me in looking at air pollution is first there's the impact of the creation of the mine, but you're talking about this being possibly a 50-year project, and that this will involve trucks going in and out, loaded trucks. So that air pollution also cannot be mitigated. Do people have any ways of responding to that?
Okay. Well, of course, they laid that out in the environmental impact statement, mm-hmm. the amount of greenhouse gas emissions, the whole thing is going to happen. And it is substantial, but it's in an air quality area that, does not have much else in the way of industry or traffic. So they are not going to violate any air quality standards that area. But again, yeah, it's a lot of greenhouse gas emissions will be emitted over the life of the mine. And of course, what I would like to see is they could begin to use electric mining means and electric trucks to haul the mining ores and so forth. So that may come later, but I think that would be a good step in the right direction. Is some mines already around the globe have started to electrify their operations.
It makes sense, doesn't it? you're creating electric batteries. Let's use that power create our fleet. Are there other technologies for extracting lithium that could somehow avoid the bad impacts of the current methods?
Yes, there are, and we are very hopeful, but they are in the early stages of development. And what these are is that one could pump the brine, as they do down at Clayton Valley, pump it up, and run it through some kind of black box that would extract the lithium itself without extracting other metals and impurities, and then push that brine right back down into a resource area underground, and more or less form an open closed loop. You'd just pull out the lithium, and this method would use far less water than the current method of evaporation pools or the current method of Thacker Pass that's proposed. And it would also have a very, very much less footprint. I mean, you would just see some wellheads here and there, perhaps out in a playa, whereas now you have these huge evaporation ponds, which I said are visible from space. So I can't say how much I would like to see these brine extraction methods come along and come along quickly, so that maybe we don't have to have the types of mines we have at Thacker Pass or the evaporation pools. And so the brine extraction, is something we ought to pursue, and there should be some, I think, federal government help to pursue that method.
Well, certainly it's with the government supporting and advocating for more and more for electric vehicles. It seems that the federal government might have an interest in supporting some of those new technologies. I don't know that the mining companies do. What do you know about that? If the mining companies are pursuing these alternatives.
Yeah. When I'm talking about these brine extraction methods that are more environmentally benign, many of the mining companies themselves are pursuing this.
Okay.
Because basically it'll be more profitable. Or can be more profitable.
It can be, right.
Could be.
And so I'm sorry, I might have interrupted you.
Okay. And I wanted to mention one other thing.
Yes.
On the horizon is the processing of huge quantities of seawater to extract lithium. The concentration of lithium in seawater is very, very small, but there's a lot of water out there, and if you can process it in large volumes, you might be able to extract sufficient lithium to make it economically feasible.
So is that happening anywhere right now?
No, that has only been demonstrated in a very small-scale project in the, I believe it's the Red Sea.
Oh, interesting. But,
it's on the horizon, and another thing that we should be looking at.
Yes.
Because that could maybe be combined with desalinization plants, because they're taking all the seawater up and the minerals out to make fresh water. So why not pull out lithium while you're doing that?
We're talking with David Von Segern. He's former chair of Toyabe chapter of the Sierra Club. We wanted to ask you a little bit about the NEPA process. We understand there's been some controversy about the process and the creation of the environmental impact statement for Thacker Pass. What are the problems there? How was the Bureau of Land Management involved, and when was the mine approved?
Well, the mine, the prospect is on Bureau of Land Management, a land that they have control over. So the EIS was prepared under their direction. The problem with this EIS is that it was done in very short time, between the time of notice that it would be prepared and the time that it was finally accepted, I believe was like on the order of 18 months.
Wow.
And for major mine projects, that usually takes years.
Right, that was quick.
Pardon?
That was quick.
It was quick, and suspiciously quick, because apparently the administration in Washington pushed it along by directing the BLM to speed it up. So the final EIS was accepted in late 2020, and in January of 2021, the record of decision was made by the BLM office to allow this mine to go forward. Well, during this time of the EIS preparation, there's always a time where you gather input and mm-hmm. have public comment.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we were in the COVID era.
Yes, right.
Which made public meetings, actually impossible. So the BLM did some Zoom meetings, but, you know, the technology for people in rural areas to come in on Zoom meetings was just not there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think the public public input process was flawed, and I think many of our partner organizations agree on that. In fact, that's one of the some of our partner organizations have filed suit against the record of decision,
mm-hmm.
and one rancher has filed suit against the record of decision, and they point to this flawed procedure in the EIS as one of the things that challenging.
So who has stood in opposition, or at least who is challenging at least the process, if not the outcome? You talk about your partners. So it's Sierra Club, and who else is involved?
Okay. To be clear, the Sierra Club is not part of that partnership that's challenging.
Okay.
And that's because we wanted to step back and study the situation before we were opposed or not opposed to any particular mine. Okay. The groups that are opposing the mine, and I may not get this right, so if I don't, I didn't mean to offend anybody. One group would be the Great Basin Resource Watch.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Another is Progressive Leadership.
Alliance of Nevada.
Yeah.
Sorry, I finished that for
another,
you.
Another is, I believe, Western Watersheds. And I'm not quite sure who the others are, but it's a potent group of people, and they have filed in federal court, and the court is now, I believe, put a moratorium on any development of the mine until the court decides whether to go ahead with this court challenge.
So the Thacker Pass mine is not a done deal?
Apparently not at this time, and we'll see. The court challenges may be effective, and if they're effective, it may result in the company doing a what's called a supplemental EIS to correct any problems that were uncovered. And so I'm not quite sure where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. So do you think this should be challenged in this way?
Speaking for the Sierra Club, we showed our preference by staying neutral,
right,
and not joining it,
right.
But we're trying to work out the guidelines for our own organization,
right,
whereby we could have clear guidance on which way we should come down on these projects like Thacker Pass.
Okay, thank you so much. Our guest has been David von Seggern. He's the author of Green Energy Meets Mining, former chair of the Toyabe chapter of the Sierra Club in Nevada. Thank you very much, Dr. von Seggern, for being with us today. It's really heartening to hear the opposition to the mine, even as we kind of fear that with a lot of projects like this, when there's so much money involved, there's kind of a juggernaut behind it. But we really appreciate the opposition that is being granted that the Sierra Club is still neutral on the issue. But thank you very much for being with us on Ecotopia this evening. We'll take a short break, be back to talk about...
Thank you, Dave.
I'm sorry, Dave didn't... Pehe Muhu, a rally held last Saturday in Reno.
Part of the rally included a dance circle with drumming and song, what you're going to hear next is from the rally. This is Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 in Chico, and we're talking tonight about lithium mining. On Saturday, June 12th, I attended Protect Pehe Maha, an Indigenous women-led gathering in which both elders and youth participated in an event of prayers, speakers, drumming, round dance, and singers to show solidarity with the resistance to the lithium mine. The speakers told the gathering of about 250 people that the Fort McDermitt Reservation, Indian Reservation, located in north central Nevada, which has been used by Paiute and Shoshone people for gathering and hunting of hundreds of years. According to the tribal elders, the area contains burial sites from a massacre against Paiute and Shoshone people when the land was being settled by white soldiers centuries ago. I talked with Duranda Hinkey. She is a member of the Fort McDermitt tribe and a tribal leader of the people of Red Mountain. Here is what she had to say. I'm here with Duranda Hinkey in Reno, Nevada, at a rally about the Thacker Pass lithium mine. And Duranda, can you tell me what your concerns are about what your relationship is, first of all, to this community, and what you see as the dangers and to the culture and to the people and to the land?
Okay, so my name is Duranda Hinkey. I'm a Fort McDermitt tribal member from the Paiute and Shoshone homelands of northern Nevada. I'm also a part of the People of Red Mountain Committee, are also known as the Atsak Kodakwa with Nowa. And we are here together to stand up collectively against all of the lithium mines or mines in general near our reservation. And so there's about 10 or 11 tribal members who want to protect our Mother Earth and protect our beliefs, our traditional beliefs. And so why we're here at this lithium mine protesting, as well as here in Reno at this rally, is to protect our women. There's an issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women that is highly prevalent in our tribal communities. And it's not a joke at this point, you know, and it's highly correlated with mining and pipelines. And so I believe that missing and murdered Indigenous women will increase in our rural community, in our tribal communities, if this lithium mine will go through. And then on top of that, we see of environmental issues that are actually correlated to our cultural issues as well, because this lithium mine will be taking 1.7 billion gallons of water from the area, from this high desert ecosystem. And by doing that, you're taking away water from the animals, the plants, the medicines, the traditional foods that we go and gather. And so we see this huge issue, and it's growing. It's not just in our tribe, it's other tribes. There's one popping up in Arizona, another one popping up in southern Nevada. And I think it's going to be the next biggest issue on land, water, and air destruction. And so that's why we're standing up, is for all of these issues.
How can this community and other communities help you? What can people do to stand with you and your people?
Yeah, so there's a few things you can do. More of a social media side, we'd really appreciate if you could follow Protect Thacker Pass, as well as Protect Pihimaha from the People of Red Mountain Committee. And another thing would be to sign our petitions. Another thing would be to talk to Deb Holland, not directly, of course, but to call her office, write to her, get your tribe, your communities, maybe a small group to stand up collectively and talk to her. She has the direct power to pull this lithium mine at this point. And so there's some other things we would really recommend and want people on the ground, and that is our biggest issue right now, because by July 29th, they are going to take cultural sites and take those sites out. So meaning they're excavating what we think are burial sites. They think otherwise, but that goes against our oral history. And so we see this this fight diminishing Native people. And so those are some of the things that you can do to help. We really appreciate people on the ground.
Thank you so much for talking with me, and I appreciate the work you're doing. It gives me hope, too. Thank you. Ian Bigley was a volunteer at the rally. He is also the mining justice organizer for the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada. I'm here in the downtown city plaza in Reno, Nevada. I'm talking now with Ian Bigley. He's a volunteer at this Northern Paiute women-led gathering, and they're here responding in part to the lithium mine that's planned in Nevada. And I'm wondering, Ian, what you think about this mine and why are people objecting to it?
Yeah, so some of what's been said here is the complexity of these issues and the really narrow focus and drive for technological fixes in regards to climate change. It's so important that we address the dig-burn-dump economy, the fossil fuel economy, and move away from that. However, climate change isn't just that narrow issue of carbon emissions. There's a long history of it as well. And part of that is social justice. In fact, the other side of the fossil fuel economy, separate from the pollution, is the fact of like looking at who was sacrificed and who benefited, where the benefits of that economy went primarily to a small group of primarily white men. However, the impacts were centered in Black, Indigenous, and communities of color, in Black communities with historic redlining, in Indigenous communities with a history of forced removals and the reservation system that was set up, and mining impacts those communities. So we have to look at these issues holistically and make sure that we're not replicating the same oppressions and problems that came with the fossil fuel economy.
So the mine has been approved. It went through the environmental impact report and was approved in the first part. What should happen next?
So right now, it's quite simple. We have to listen to the people whose home that is and whose ancestral lands that those are. I can say for myself, I started following permits from this area about 4 years ago, trying to understand what was going on and what was going to go on with lithium. And, throughout permitting, the previous tribal government supported the project. And, the work that I do, it's not my place as a settler to oppose that. So we respected that. However, as folks in the community have become aware of this project, there's a really strong movement led by traditionalists in the community opposing this project, asserting their inherent rights, and saying that, we can't be a sacrifice zone for corporate profits. So what needs to happen for moving forward is to follow the leadership of Indigenous peoples. And this isn't just one tactic. Although it's not complicated, we need to stop this mine, we need to respect humanity. The opposition to it comes in many forms. So there's lawsuits ongoing with environmental groups. There's currently a preliminary injunction that we're waiting on a determination on. And there's also work to, postpone and try to prevent this mine via nonviolent direct action. The real hard thing is based off the legal structures with the federal government, there's no real way currently for a permanent protection. You could get a federal minerals withdrawal from the Department of the Interior, or you could get a national monument designation for this area. However, I will say the congressman for that area was the former head of the Nevada Mining Association. And neither of those, those are the most permanent, but could be overturned. So really looking long-term as well, we need to reform our federal mining laws, such as the 1872 General Mining Act.
Right. Thank you so much, Ian. I really appreciate your time. And thanks for working on this issue. It's great. Thanks. People of all ethnicities, ages, and regions attended the rally. Adam Barrington came with signs that demonstrated his solidarity. I'm talking with Adam Barrington. He's a part of the People's Solidarity Program here in Reno, Nevada, which serves unhoused people, and he's an attendant here at the rally. Why are you here, Adam?
So I'm actually here to show solidarity with the local Paiute and Shoshone tribes and their ancestral lands. Right now there's a lithium mine that's trying to push through, obviously, further corporate destruction of the environment and of these ancestral lands of the local Indigenous communities. And so we're just out here to, again, show solidarity and lend a hand in whatever way we can.
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. Mm-hmm. Singer Sana Sana was joined by Niles Quinn in a song that he wrote about the Thacker Pass lithium mine at the rally called Stolen Land.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go start it over one more time, please. Thank you. Yeah. I wish we had a sub right now. Drink up the water, sitting on stolen land. Living on stolen land, tomando la agua, sitting on stolen land, sitting on stolen land. Drink up the water, sitting on stolen land, sitting on stolen land. Lithium mines not thinking very smart, bro. Short-lived like the life of a smartphone. Batteries need too many parts, though. Cobalt child slaves, where's your heart, bro? Green energies, homie, please. Extracting these things still requires gasoline. They gotta run in machines, and their methods ain't clean. What they do, bring disease on the father. What they do kills the water. What about all our doctors? Don't put the man cancer. You gonna fill up your cup with a mess and the stuff. You gonna drink it all up.
Drink it all up.
Aquifers, sulfuric acid in your cup.
Yeah.
I think enough is enough. No more projects till their minds cleaned up. Sitting on stolen land, living on stolen land. Drink up the water, sitting on stolen land, living on stolen land.
Any person listening to this program about lithium mining might sensibly ask, then what can we do? Damned if we do, damned if we don't. I think my answer is just to be mindful. All of us that consume are part of the problem of the degradation of the earth. The more we consume, the more we are part of the problem. As I used to tell my children, you are complicit when you wake up in the morning. All of us are complicit. And know when you and I are consuming, somebody is probably being hurt by that. It's the nature of living in a world, in a country that has promoted growth, consumerism, and a car-centric culture.
But are you surprised? Sitting on stolen land, living on stolen land. Drink up the water. Sitting on stolen land, living on stolen land. The one that I want. Protect that could pass. 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 Yeah, protect that could pass. Protect Kihima, huh? Thank you so much.
We're asking for everybody's support. If you can be out there, if you can put yourself on the line, please show up.
That's it for Ecotopia tonight. You've been listening to us on KZFR 90.1 Chico. You can contact us at ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com. You can listen to old shows and check out our list of resources. You can go to our website, ecotopiakzfr.com. If you have suggestions or comments, please contact us. We are interested in your responses. And again, I want to thank Manny Becerra for all of the help that he provided for this show tonight. Thanks for listening.
When you listen to KZFR, you are getting incredible music, but also locally produced public affairs programming. I co-host the Peace and Justice program and am a regular listener to The Real Issue, Ecotopia, and all of our shows, as well as the incredible syndicated shows like Democracy Now! And Alternative Radio. Please support all our important programming at kzfr.org and click on the Donate tab. Thanks.
This is KZFR 90.1 Chico, community-supported radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills. I don't know my geography tonight. We don't have a North State give and take tonight, so we're going to give you a replay of a show by Dr. Gail Kimball. This was earlier broadcast in February of 2021. Here's Dr. Gail.
So, Dan, thank you very much for talking with me. We first, kind of, when you were 18 and a college student, and your English teacher was from Chico, where I'm from, and you answered my questionnaire for my book about global youth, and your responses were so interesting. we kept on corresponding. So how many years ago was that, that you were a fresh person, a first-year student?
I lost counting already. That was so long time ago. And I think at least more.